irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, February 9th.
Yes, it is.
We're dying of heat here, folks. The summer's back in February. What is going on? 90 degrees.
It's crazy.
90 degree weather.
I'm not complaining, though. I can't stand
the
cold.
No, you like it, right?
Ugh. Yeah.
But it's too hot, you know? I mean, actually, you live in the city, so it doesn't get that hot. But here in the valley, 90 degrees, come on, in February. You know, we're still dressing up for the winter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit different in the valley.
Yeah. A little bit, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Good for you. You're near the ocean. You
a
get
bit.
Sea breeze.
I know.
Yeah. So how are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm waking up kind of slowly.
Really?
But I'm coming along, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. I thought I kicked my cold, but I still have it.
Goodness.
And it
drives you should go
me
to the
crazy.
Doctor. I really think you should.
You really think? But it's not that serious. I mean, it's just like dragging on and lingering.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe in a few days I will see. I'm trying to stifle my cough as much as I can. I did bring a cough drop here, so maybe I'll use it later. But
it's always
now, we're
scary
good.
When something lingers for a while.
I know, I know. Oh, but I'm not a doctor type of person, you know. I only go when I'm half dead. So, yeah. In a few minutes, we're going to have a couple of great guests joining us in the studio here. And it's definitely going to be a fun show. And yeah, we're going to talk about a new show that they're producing and everything. So that sounds pretty exciting.
I know.
Yeah. So today is the New Hampshire primaries.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right?
Yeah.
Decision day is starting, folks. And we'll see. Now, everything that's been said doesn't really matter. You know?
I know.
I mean, we'll see until today. And if there's a big turnout, then we're going to see some real votes, you know.
I officially don't trust the polls. So.
No, huh? I know they've been wrong. They've been so wrong.
Yes, I mean for reasons that we discussed yesterday. I think. I mean, either people change their mind, but I'm one to think that people don't care about polls and they know the importance of the actual election, so they go and actually vote, but they don't take the poll because they're like, I don't want to waste my time. So
exactly,
but I think that's the case.
But the polls are important because they affect a lot of people's decisions, you know. So that's why you really have to take it with a grain of salt.
It's like herd mentality, right?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Oh, gosh.
That's what happens. People go, oh, who's popular? I'll just vote for them.
Yeah.
You know, and be a winner. So so that's the way it goes. And now that Rubio is starting to show some strength, everybody's is attacking him now, so we'll see what's going
on. I know. I was watching
there,
a lot of YouTube clips on Rubio yesterday.
Really?
It's interesting.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah. George Stephanopoulos was interviewing him.
Oh.
About.
So it was positive stuff? Mostly?
Yes, he was just asking him, you know, about his views, and he was focusing a lot on pro-life, actually, which, you know, he has a kind of a controversial pro-life view.
I know.
You know, he doesn't think that rape or incest should.
Really? Rubio doesn't?
No.
Oh, wow, man. How am I going to vote for anybody, man? It's like all of them have got these like ancient views, you know, and.
I know.
You see, that's the problem is, you know, you can be a conservative or a liberal.
Come on. Like that child's life is going to be so fucked up. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
And the mothers too, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, why?
It's just gonna
why?
I know.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, you could be conservative, but it's such a big spectrum that, you know, that you have to be, you know, I mean, look, if you're conservative, then the only party that represents you is the Republicans. And conversely with liberals, it's the Democrats. So it's not like you have a perfect party, you know. And each one's going to represent some of the things you want, but also some of the things you don't want.
Exactly.
And then you go, you know, I mean, I'm totally for abortion and everything. So for someone like that, I thought he's like the most reasonable of all of them. But I don't know what's going to happen, man. You know, it's just like – You know, but these are like small things, you know. I mean, there are like a million issues. And, you know, and this is, these are also things that the president doesn't really decide. You know, I mean, you saw the Supreme Court decided these things and everything, you know, so. Yeah.
But I mean, I kind of just think it's ludicrous.
Yeah.
You know, in a situation it like is. Rape or incest or something. Like, I understand if you're just, you know, negligent and don't take precautions you need to take and you get pregnant. Okay, maybe pro-life. Okay, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the people that use it for birth control.
You know, right, that's not cool. For birth control. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. That's not cool. But right. I think there are exceptions, and he doesn't think so. So that was kind of the, you yeah. know, the whole. Except for he does believe if the mother's life is in danger, in abortion.
Well, good.
So it's like, okay, thank pick a life, for that. Right? Yeah. Like, I mean, it's like kind of crazy. Take your pick. So.
I know. So we'll see what happens, you know. But you always, I find in elections, you always have to find the least. Terrible one, you know.
I know.
It's not that you go for the best one, but the one that will cause the least trouble, you know.
It's so funny. Someone so in my family know. Who will not be named is like, they're all liars. It doesn't matter.
That's true. That's probably what true. A lot of people say.
I know.
But yeah, I mean, you would imagine politicians will say anything you want to hear, you know. But,
right.
But we'll see. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be cool. And now the election season is starting, so we're going to have Super Tuesday in March, which is a lot of states voting on the same day, and so forth. So that should be pretty interesting. We'll see how that goes. So in related notes, do you know who... what's her name? Albright. What's her first name?
Gloria?
Marilyn. Marilyn Albright.
Oh, Marilyn.
Yeah. She was in the...
I think it's Madeline, huh?
Madeline.
Yes.
Is that what I said? I said Marilyn?
You said Marilyn.
Yeah, Madeline. That Madeline Albright.
You're thinking
That's
of
right.
Miss Monroe.
Right. Whoever I'm thinking about. Either way, I don't like the woman at all. And yesterday she created... She created a controversy by saying that women should support Hillary regardless. And then she said that there's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, so that's going a little too far, wouldn't you say?
I would say.
Yeah. I mean, because that if you vote for Valerie only because she's a woman and you're a woman, it's sexist, don't you think?
It is sexist,
yeah,
actually.
Right? And you're not voting for the right reasons.
No, that's like voting for someone because they're your ethnicity or they're your... Right. I mean, come on, that's so rudimentary.
I know,
style
I know.
Of thinking. It's just bizarre to me.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why I can't stand her, man. She's like, when she was in politics, she was a Secretary of State and stuff, and I just... I didn't like her views and stuff at all. And then Gloria Steinem comes out and she suggests that young women are only supporting Sanders because they want to meet men.
What?
When you're young, you're thinking, where are the boys? The boys are with Bernie.
And oh, then she later, I am sorry. Women have such a hard time. Like, men are so picky.
Right. So she later apologized for this stupid remark.
I mean, that is insane.
I know. I don't know what the hell's wrong with
There's
people.
There's a guy out there for every woman, let me tell you.
Yeah, everybody's running off at the mouth, you know, saying stupid things. And
that's
you
bizarre.
Know. Yeah.
I mean, I would almost believe it if it was the other way around.
Right.
Like, but come on.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, is that like a generalization or what?
I mean women are not.
It's so I think condescending to women to say that.
Oh, it is.
Please. Right?
That's
and
so
she's supposed to be a feminist, you know, so.
It's ridiculous.
That's what happens. They get so deep in their views that they start saying stupid things, you know.
Well, I think it's kind of like the shock jock era of politics right now. I mean, with like Donald Trump and everybody, like, I say what I believe.
Right.
Well, you know, great. Okay, say what you believe. But
exactly. But what you believe is often.
Yeah. And I think they're just trying to get a rise sometimes out of people.
Yeah, probably. Who knows? But it's definitely an interesting year, and we'll see what happens. The funny thing is that Bush is still talking. He's like nowhere in sight on the polls at all or in Iowa. And he's still talking as though he's like going to win. You know, I mean, I would pull out at this point, you know, but you never know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's bring in our guest now. We've been talking too much politics for the morning, right?
Yeah.
And my phone is buzzing and everything. And so we have a special, a couple of great guests in the studio. We have Jillian and Mark. Woo-hoo! Right? Jillian Boyd and Mark, what is your last name? Stevens.
Stevens.
And thank you for joining us, folks.
Thanks for having us in here, Sam.
Of course.
And Kelsey.
Yeah. So, Jillian, we've known each other for a long time. Actually, probably 8 years, almost since the beginning of the station.
Wow.
She came on a show with four ladies. There were four ladies.
Ladies, use term. That term is loosely
okay,
used.
We'll say women.
Gals.
Young women. And they put a show together called Broad Topics. And it was fun, right?
And I would say that's Laura Nickerson. She's amazing. She put that together, and she let me come on board, which was great.
Nice.
Which
was
big
nice.
Kudos to Laura.
Yeah. Right. And you guys had all different views, which was nice.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. One's conservative. One is liberal.
One's a big old lesbian.
Exactly.
I don't know who that was.
But I can smell her from here.
But I'm bummed. It just is awful.
Yeah. I love it. Oh, my gosh.
No, So Jillian, you joined the show like what? A couple weeks after it started, or something, right?
Because
they replaced somebody.
Yeah, they replaced somebody who decided that wasn't her bag.
Right, exactly.
Okay. And so
you guys had a long run, and then after that, you joined Russ Averson doing the.
Russ and I got together. I trained dogs as well in my history and now. But Russ
and I
have a couple
boyfriends for you.
Like I said, I'm a lesbian.
Yeah,
I need to throw them your way. Train the dogs.
Not this time around.
That's train the her. Dogs.
But so we, Russ and I got together, and we both love dogs, and he's been training for years. So we decided, he was like, hey, you're doing a show. I'd love to do the radio. So we did Atomic Dog Radio for about 4 years.
Yeah.
Here,
and that was an amazing show, you know. And I got to tell you, this morning I was looking at Facebook, and I was thinking of you because I was thinking of dogs. You know, because you guys had a dog show and you're into dogs and stuff. And I saw a little clip on Facebook of a dog that for the first time is being given some compassion.
Aww.
He's been abused all his life and he's growling all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see that he's like cowering and everything. And you go, what must... has that dog been through?
Yeah, and so how he doesn't know how to receive. He doesn't trust.
Right.
But give
and
him
I
time.
Was thinking,
give him time.
You know, I was thinking maybe I'll get involved with dogs. You know, maybe I'll go work at a shelter or something.
That
right?
would be beautiful.
Volunteer at a
they
shelter.
They need people always.
They do, right?
Yeah. It's hard to see, but once all it takes is like 5-10 minutes, and you make that dog stay. You do.
Right.
They
right?
don't. Yeah. They just want the interaction.
I would really like to do that. Something like that. Too.
Yeah. You know, that would be fun. Especially, I like dogs a lot, but I don't really like living with them, you know. I don't like living with animals.
But you appreciate them and respect
them. Yeah, and I love them, you know.
That's good. And there's a place for everybody with animals.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, but then, you know, when you're about to volunteer with for animals and stuff, you go, well, aren't people more important? Maybe I should do something for homeless people. But I guess you got to take care of everybody, right?
Right. And you have to go where your passion is, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, look, my passion would be to help people, but maybe I can do both, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely noble to help animals out, you know?
Here's a way to think about this, Sam. I got something for you here.
Okay.
There are many homeless people out there who have animals, who are on the streets with their dogs.
That's
and
so
they
true.
Go out and they will do everything for their animal.
Wow.
They will go hungry in order to feed their pets.
Really?
So there are ways to probably look into helping homeless with their pet, getting them spayed and neutered, helping them out, donating towards helping them keep their animal with them. Because that's their family.
I've seen that. It's so sweet, actually.
Yeah. And the dogs are
sad
people like,
and sweet.
Well, you think the dogs are sad, but they have pretty, you know, if they're fed and they're well and they're loved, they're good to go.
They're so loyal. Like, they actually
place.
Seem happy.
Yeah.
They don't
There's a lot
much,
of dogs
right?
who have homes and nobody pays attention to them.
Yeah.
And they're usually really tightly bonded, the person and their dog. So that's something to think about. Anyway.
I know. No, but I mean, it is a sad thing. You know, I see abuse of dogs all the time on Facebook. And I'm like, how could people do this? I mean, where does that cruelty come from? You know?
I think it's just born. I think a lot of times.
Just people are evil, you know? Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they go through in their childhood to be...
I mean, there's a lot of debate about that, or killers born or made, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think they start off with animals. I watch Investigation Discovery all the time. And it's, you know, it's incredibly sad stories, but a lot of times it starts off with animal abuse. And, you know, they'll find out that these serial killers, like, would burn cats and dogs and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, really?
It's a precursor to who they are.
It is.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Okay, well, let's go to happier notes.
I was going to say, I'm going to chime in and say, in our project, no animals are harmed.
Good.
In the making of this project, I can't speak for Mark.
I was harmed a great deal, but I enjoyed it. So that was a different story.
He did. He enjoyed it a lot.
And now I'm a lesbian.
And now he's a lesbian. We've known each other for a long time.
Really? How long have you known each other?
Since we were 18 and now we're 25.
Really? No. 7 years.
I'm kidding. Just 7 years. Now, we knew each other. We went to Florida State together. We're both Southern. I grew up in Georgia. Mark grew up in Central Florida, which are where our show takes place. Welcome to our mansion. That is our pilot. And we met at Florida State, both in theater. And lived together out here, have written and created together. We have pitched reality shows. We have written this. We have other spec ideas that we're tossing around and writing all the time. So Mark and I make an awesome creative team. I love him to death. And and we're out pitching Welcome to Our Mansion. Tell them a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, we came together on this project at a time when we were both feeling like we wanted some more creative outlet. And I think Jillian was the one, she said to me, she's like, do you want to write something, you know, together? This was many years ago. It was about 8 years ago, seven, eight years ago.
Before you met.
No.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, back when we were 17.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so we got together and we started writing this project, and we got a group of actor friends together to read it who said, hey, this is pretty good. So we did some more rewrites, and then we did a little industry reading, and we had some producers and writers who said, hey, this is really good. You ought to enter this into some competitions and see how well you do.
Yeah.
We did, and we got special recognition and honors and semifinalists, and we were like, okay, this is pretty good. And then we did a third reading with even more people there, and we were so encouraged to go ahead and get this, you know, get this project out there. So we did an Indiegogo campaign, raised $30,000.
Wow.
And we shot what's called a proof of concept pilot, which means it's not a pilot that would ever air, but it was something that we were able to put onto YouTube.
And so we think. You never know these days. Content is everything. So
it is. Was it kind of a sizzle reel?
Well, no, we have the full. We have the full 34 minutes, which you can see on our YouTube channel, Welcome to Our Mansion, or our Houses on Wheels Productions. That's our production company. And you can also go to welcometoourmansion.com and hit it there. And you'll, and I think maybe you'll play the sizzle reel today.
Yeah.
We have a minute and a half trailer. And then we also have the full 34 minutes at this time with credits. Where, you know, it would probably get edited down again.
Sure.
And for anybody that's listening that doesn't know what a sizzle reel is, it's kind of like a trailer for a movie.
Right.
But it's what you use to pitch. In fact, Jillian did a wonderful pitch for us yesterday using our sizzle reel. So we're out there and we're pitching this project. Yay. About this behavior therapist who's been living in New York City, and his big city lifestyle falls apart, and he's forced to move back to the craziness of his family's crazy country mobile home estate.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
It is. There's a lot of craziness that ensues. I mean, the whole family, there's no good graces. Their communication is very scattered, should I say.
Yeah. And I noticed everybody smokes cigarettes there and stuff, so it's like, well, I see a couple people. Like, I saw the little girl lighting the mom's cigarette.
Yes. Right? Oh my God, that's
hilarious.
Yeah,
so that's funny. And so it's a comedy about the whole family is how you describe it. Is this like a Southern family?
It's very Southern.
Really?
And I have to say, so Jillian said something
before. So a lot of stereotypes and stuff in there, funny ones.
Yeah, I would say... would you call archetypes as well?
I would say, yeah, archetypes is maybe a way to go.
Okay.
Where you've got the gun-toting granny and all of that. But you know, people say, you know, is this just a cardboard cutout of what we've seen before? Mm-hmm. And Jillian and I actually have drawn from real people, real situations that we know growing up. And one of the things I like to say is Jillian grew up Southern, but I grew up country.
That's true.
So together, so she brings class to the project.
I'm so classy.
as you know from her early comments.
Yes.
But it is. It's very Southern. It's very country. But on top of that, it's very Central Florida mobile home park, not a trailer park, which is it's a little bit different from what a lot of people have seen on TV. We've seen shows like The Middle, where you see sort of that lower middle class, and we've seen trailer parks, but we've never seen mobile home communities. Mobile home communities are one step above trailers
and parts,
there's one step below a house without
and there's
wheels.
a sense of they are proud of that. I mean, they don't talk down about that.
Really?
So there's a sense of good that, you know, they are not
on. They're so not trailer tracks.
Right, yeah. So they're just building a community and stuff like that. So that's where they live,
yes,
these people.
But they have their own, with the Jones family, the thing why we call it a mobile home estate and why they're so proud of it is 8 acres for the last 50 years they have sat on. And there's a mobile home on each corner and then a nice shack where Mama built first. Uh-huh. So each corner has on that 8-acre plot, and it's theirs.
Really?
And it's theirs to be protected and don't, you know. So it's a lovely, why we say about the whole family is it's really, no matter what level, the same interactions and the same passion and love for each other is there. And then they mess up a lot.
Yeah, they mess up a lot.
So how did the idea come about for you, Jillian?
Well, both of us, I say.
Oh,
both.
I thought you were the one that brought it up. And
well, we were like, let's write together.
But I didn't write. As soon as you did that, you started doing it together.
Yeah.
I would say one of the things that Jillian and I did is we bandied stories back and forth. So, being in college together and then living together, we knew a lot of each other's stories. I know so many stories about her growing up and her mom and her dad and, you know, the things that she went through. And she knew a lot of my stories. And we played with lots of different ideas. Do we put it in Texas? Do we put it in Georgia? Mm-hmm. And she said, you know what, Mark, you talk a lot about this place you come from in Polk County. What if we set it there? So that was something that Jillian had said. So we said, okay, let's set it there. Mm-hmm. And then we started creating the characters around it. And at one point, our main character was not the oldest, or he was the oldest, and then he wasn't
he wasn't, and now he is. He is the eldest, who, you know, kind of the prodigal son type of thing coming back. There's another archetype for you.
And you really have to be creative to come up with different characters, right?
I mean, it's fun, though.
Pretty big family.
Yes.
So you have to really concentrate and focus on each person, each character, what they're like. You're like building a person.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, Sam, was, you know, because Jillian and I both have come from a world of improv and sketch, was when we would want to voice these characters, sometimes we would sit and each of us would take a character and we would talk back and forth. And that's sometimes how that very real dialogue would come about.
Wow, very interesting.
And they say it's interesting because when you take writing courses or writing sketch, they say don't improvise to write your sketch. But for us, let's just throw it out the window, that rule, because sometimes, and I've done this with one woman shows that I've written, is I've gone on my feet and I've just started saying crap. Just say it out loud and say it, and all of a sudden something gold comes out of your mouth because you're not thinking.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something you're like, oh, that's it. And you write it down. And that's what would inspire us. And then we'd sit and then, of course, flush it out. But it was a lovely thing to be able to have two people who have no fear about that. We'd make ass of ourselves.
We make asses of ourselves on a regular basis. We kind of enjoy it.
Now, at the time when you guys started, where were you? Were you here in L.A.?
Yeah, we were here. We've been here a
so
long
did you
time.
Move at about the same time from FSU?
I was working as an actor in Atlanta doing television and movie of the week. And Mark
Jillian was a big deal in Atlanta, by the way. Don't let her just brush over it. She was the sister. Can I say it? She was the sister of Gwyneth Paltrow, and she was the daughter of Shelley Fabre.
She was in a lot of great work.
And then I decided I didn't want to play white trash anymore, so I tried it out here. But now look what I'm doing. I just go back home.
Oh my gosh, we all head back home. That is so funny.
So Mark was in New York doing music theater. He's an amazing voice and talent, and he's been in Sunset Boulevard, traveling on Broadway. He's done a lot as well. So there's our kudos. We pat ourselves on the back, on we go. So, yeah. But we moved out. I moved out here, and then Mark moved out like a year later. He's like, I'm coming out. And then I was living on my own. I said, why don't we move in together? Mm. And then life happened, and we moved. He moved back to New York. I moved to Seattle, went to grad school, came back. And here, that's when it all started.
And during that time, just to go a step farther, so for a little while, I was writing for Disney. So I was doing kid shows, writing for the Disney Channel. And Jillian went on to do a lot of sketch and improv work and ended up winning several awards as a top sketch writer, right, for the
Performer writer.
Wow. Very cool. You see, so you guys are very talented. Now, you were in New York. Why would you move here? Well, probably the weather, but no, there's other opportunities too, right, for acting?
Well, I'm originally from Florida, so I did grow up in Florida, and I remember it was 94, and by January, we'd already had 3 blizzards.
Oh, my gosh.
And I got a little job that brought me out here. This was back in 1994, and I came out for a week, and it was right after the big earthquake, the Northridge earthquake.
Yeah. Which I was in.
94.
Oh, how scary. Yes, oh my
and
gosh.
Everybody said, oh, this is the worst.
Now
time
we're dating
to be
ourselves.
Here.
We just told them. I was 12. I was 12 years old.
I always get lucky.
Bound, chicka, bow, bow.
So I said, well, if this is the worst of it, I think I want to do this. So I came out here and continued working out here. But then, of course, New York would call, and I would go back. And I toured Europe for a little while. So
what a fun life.
Yeah, it's been a great life, gosh. I have to say.
So I haven't had a chance to watch any of the clips of the show. Is it animated, or are there actual actors? Is it voice?
It's live action. Actors.
Live action.
Great. Okay. Yeah.
And maybe this is a good time now to play the sizzle reel, right? Official trailer. And let's just hear some of the bantering going on with the family, right?
The father of my children was just buried, and we are in mourning. You come here.
It's disgusting and needs a lot of work, but I've got an extra chandelier that will brighten that place up. TV, bed, hot plate, home.
What would you do if you were me?
You mean if I have no money or home and everybody on TV was saying mean things about me?
I just lay low and let it blow over. It's better just to stay out of sight.
Yeah, please come find her for a week.
What you need to do is man up.
You know, Daddy died on that mattress from an as yet to be determined impatient.
That's nice. I didn't get raped or mugged or nothing.
The entire country thinks that I am a sex-crazed pervert.
I know a guy who was born with three balls and no butthole.
Paul mistakenly molested a woman at work, but it was a misunderstanding.
Oh, another Jones is going to jail.
I love this, man. This is good.
That is so funny.
This is good. Oh, you guys have to watch it.
Yeah, you have to watch the visuals. Oh, this is the beginning of the show. Yeah. So you can check it out with the visuals and the placement cards too, that tells a little more of the story by going to our website, welcometoourmansion.com.
Guys, that is so funny. Oh my gosh. I could totally relate. I'm from Texas. I don't know.
Okay.
You got some people like that.
Yes, we do.
You get a feel for it.
I always like to do the southern accent when I just worked a pilot the other day and did a southern.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fun. I played like a drunk beauty queen, like distressed.
Now, how real is that to life, Kelsey?
It's actually very real. And you know what? I'm on antibiotics right now and I can't drink. And I'm like, oh my God, go away. And the lady, I always drink when I'm on antibiotics. I don't care. But this time, the pharmacist was like, seriously, Kelsey, like, I mean it this time. Like, you're going to get violently ill if you drink. I'm like, oh God.
If y'all don't know, Kelsey is gorgeous, but just her left eye is wilting a little bit.
But I'm like, oh my gosh. So I've been off the bottle for a couple weeks.
Oh my Lord.
I know. Whoa. But it's over tomorrow.
I just want to say thank you for making it here.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. You
know, yes. On the wagon and all.
I know. I am on it for a minute.
So, your minds were going wild. You know, three balls and no asshole. I mean, that's a nice, nice line. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So the show is like
proud
that,
of things
right?
like that.
Yeah. And that's what we're like. Either people are going to love it or they're going to go, you are juvenile and we have no interest.
Right.
So, but we're going to run with what we enjoy. The thing is you're hearing comedy. A flavor of it, but what you see when you see the whole thing is this family really tries to help Paul out and they really are not good at it.
Yeah. The more they try to help, the worse things get.
Yeah. Sure.
And so what Jillian and I have done is we've created what's called a first season arc, which basically takes you through 13 episodes.
Okay,
and
sure.
So it starts out in a really bad place, and by the end of the 13 episodes, it gets worse.
Wow.
So they just one bad thing after the next happens, and you hope it's going to get better, but it never does. And on top of that, even though these characters are ignorant in a lot of ways, that they their intention is so good, and you want them to do well. So you actually like
right. You're
all
rooting
the characters.
For them. Sure.
It's not depressing when you see it. You mean like it's funny when things go awry. Exactly.
It's hilarious.
It's not like Dancer in the Dark with Bjork, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's
where
like
it's like
that.
You just want to crunch your eyes out. You know, it's horrible. That movie, I'll never watch it again. But anyway.
So this is pitched as a half-hour sitcom, pretty much?
It's pitched as a half-hour comedy. So okay. one of the things is in our shooting style, and one of the reasons that we did this proof of concept pilot is we wanted to be very clear about the style this should be shot in, the way that we would see it as the creators.
Right.
And so we have always seen this as very done very dirty, meaning it like a handheld camera. That's the way that we shot sure. it.
But not Blair Witch. Not it doesn't make you sick.
Right.
Yeah. We wanted the sweat on the people's faces. We wanted the bugs sure. flying through. We actually added the sound of dogs barking and trains running in the background. And we wanted that very Central Florida, dirty, sweaty.
I like that.
Just to be honest with you, we didn't have makeup crew because we wanted people to come. Because we have a sort of a reality show feel to it. We wanted them
so cool.
to be
okay.
who they are. So they right. look like real people. Real. And some people are like, are these real people?
Right.
But even on the credit for makeup, it was Nitty Gritty Make 'em Pretty. Because we didn't have, you know, we just
so
made up
cute.
Somebody.
That yeah. is so
we just
cute.
Wanted to
and it's
let
actors,
them be them.
Actors so that cute. Don't look like actors.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
In
right.
fact,
but they all are very talented actors.
And it was good yeah. that you said this, Sam, because most of these actors are from Central Florida. We cast out of Central Florida.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we
local
did
local casting.
Yeah, and we had people came in from Atlanta, and then we had people who were
one from New York who played our
that's
Betty.
Right. That's right.
Oh. We got
Kelly
very
Bartnick.
Lucky to find her. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
But for the most part, they were all very Southern, and so they know that culture. Mm-hmm. And the biggest note for all of them was. Don't act. Don't do this like a sitcom.
Right.
Don't play the comedy. Play this for real. And right. so we let it all play out in a very real way so that it almost has a quirky independent film feel to it.
Oh,
right.
That's great.
Yeah. No, I mean, now I'm eager to see the whole thing because
I actually am too.
Yeah, it's really funny and you should see the characters. I mean, it's hilarious. Yeah. So you actually shot it there in Central Florida, right?
We thought about here.
How long did you guys have to spend there to do this?
Well, we did. Mark being has a little bit more flexible schedule than I have, so and he went back and forth a couple times in between. Mm-hmm. But we did about 6 months before we shot. We went out and did a casting session,
mm-hmm.
Scouting session,
scouting
as well.
And scouting sure. locations, and we have these three women we called our sassies. Tammy Cerebrin, Eileen Schofield, and Heidi Ingram. And those women were our sweet, sweet sassies, we call them. They were amazing. And they helped us find locations. Eileen was our casting person. She knew everybody. Tammy got us all arranged set and production-wise. So we had
helped
these amazing
locations.
Women that helped us in that week in March. Yeah. Then we headed in. We had it set. We were there a week before production. Mark and I were with our DP and with our crew. And we started shooting. We shot it over a week period, 5 days in there, because we had a little girl who's in school, so we could only do bookending weekends
oh,
with
sure.
her.
Okay.
And then we shot the Wednesday in between. So it was crunch time. It was yeah. there was no pretty.
Yeah.
Was not, we were.
But you did it pretty fast, though. I
we
mean,
had
fast.
To, yeah.
And we weren't sleeping. And you know what was so nice
there
about
was no
that,
sleep.
Sam, is one of our friends, Brian Whittle, who helped us with the sound. And Brian works on a lot of major shows.
He's just on Angel from Hell, and before that, the Mindy Project.
So. And when Brian saw it, he said, so how many days did you guys work on? Did you shoot? And we said 5. And he said, wow, this looks like it was a lot more than 5 days.
Right.
You know, and Brian's worked on a lot of things. So that was great for us that our friends in the industry mm-hmm. were going, wow, you guys did a lot in a very little amount of time with a very small budget. For anyone listening out there, $30,000 in the world of TV is
nothing.
Oh my
God. Yeah,
and I do want to do a little shout out to in our trailer that we just listened to, the music there. Uh-huh. That was done by Scott Francisco. And Scott his wife is a friend of mine, happened to see the half hour. And he saw it and he's like, hey, I wonder if they'll let me do the music for it. Because we do need music in the half hour.
Sure.
But we said, how about the trailer first? And Scott works on Girls. He works on The Librarians. Mm. So how lucky are we?
Yeah.
I mean, I felt so honored to have somebody so talented come in and say, I want to compose this for you.
And I love the music.
It's wonderful,
say,
isn't it? So,
and at that point, our budget was shot. So Scott was like, no, listen, this is the kind of thing I would like to score.
Wow.
And so we were like, Scott, this would be fantastic. And everything he gave us was just amazing. So Wow. Again, we've been fortunate.
And he's
fortunate.
Fun.
It's really, I mean, this project has been blessed, really. Yes. I mean, you were able to raise all that money. It's not easy to raise $30,000.
No, you know? It's not.
Yeah. And, you know, I made you were lucky.
He took his shirt off a lot.
I did. Yeah. I did. Uh-huh.
And that raised some money, too.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Well, we went down a few. And
they paid me to put my shirt back on.
That's right. Yeah.
Someone's exhausted from all the blowjobs.
Donate. Donate now and he'll put his shirt on.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying.
That's funny. So no. So some of the characters, what do we have there? We have a family that's who? Do we have, yes, like
matriarch?
Father, mother?
So what we find out at the very beginning of the pilot is that the father has died. The father has smoked two packs. His name's Buddy, and he has smoked two packs of cigarettes a day. Whoa. And the doctor always said that two packs a day is going to kill you, but he thinks that it might have been that that infection that actually got him in the end. So we open seeing his funeral. At the funeral, we meet his mother-in-law, Mamaw, who totes a gun and spits snuff.
Oh my
we
God.
See her daughter, his ex-wife, Rosie. Rosie is as loving as can be, and she eats like crazy. And, of course, we meet Paul, and Paul is our protagonist.
We actually open with Paul and what's happening to him in New York. You see a little bit, a hint of, like, something's gone awry in the office, and sure, then the scandal that ruins his fancy lifestyle. Apparently.
Paul smokes a lot of pot. He has a lot of non-traditional therapy that gets him into trouble, and he, for some reason, wears this little red superhero cape, which we find out in a flashback why he has this affinity.
Need to.
Yeah. So he's more screwed up than the rest of the family.
In times of stress, all of a sudden that comes out of his back pocket and he's superhero.
Yeah.
Really?
And he's like 38 years old. So
that is so funny.
And then he's got brothers and sisters. The
oldest
sister.
Well, the oldest sister is Betty. And Betty is you're not quite sure what her preferences are, what her tendencies are, but she is kind of the glue that keeps the family together, but she doesn't talk much. She loves Harlequin romances, and she loves to fix things.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah. So
and loves her Mountain Dew.
Loves her Mountain Dew.
Oh, wow.
She actually has a cooler. You'll see when you go to the show. She has a very special cooler that
we
doubles.
Won't give it away.
Yeah,
you
we won't give it,
it
away, but you've got to watch it. It's a visual.
She don't do her day without her dew.
She don't do her day without her dew. And then she's got a little sister, Sadie, and Sadie is the one who's always smoking
cigarettes. Oh, what a name, Sadie. Oh, my
Sadie.
Gosh. That's so Southern.
And Sadie has got a little daughter, Amber, who is of questionable mixed race. We don't know who the daddy was because Sadie says she got pregnant from a toilet seat.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
She won't tell why, but she does. You know, you think when she says, you know, baby, you got my lighter, that her daughter's in trouble. But no, she just needs her lighter cigarette for her. You know? Oh, and tells her not to lose it. Don't lose
it. Don't lose it.
Don't lose it.
Right.
You can play with it all you need, but don't you lose it. I need my cigarette lit.
And then rounding out the family is the youngest brother, the baby brother, Scott, who's as sweet as can be. And Scott has a partner, a same-sex partner named Burl. And Burl, unfortunately, is on about 14 different medications.
Oh, no.
He trips and falls.
Kind of like Kelsey.
Yeah, kind of like Kelsey. Kind of like Kelsey.
I know.
And he's rushed to the hospital almost every episode.
My favorite are muscle relaxers.
Well,
that's my drug of choice.
Is that why you're draped over the chair right now? What has happened?
Oh, there goes her twitching eye.
I know. Like I have to have them sleep.
But yeah, so they're a very fun family.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Jillian Boyd and Mark Stevens about the show Welcome to Our Mansion. We just listened to a couple of clips from the trailer, and this is going to be a half-hour comedy. Hopefully, it'll be on TV. Now, if it doesn't, will you go on
God
the web?
God willing, the creek don't rise.
With the intention is that, first of all, we ideally would like for it to be a Netflix, an Amazon, an HBO, a Showtime, IFC.
Is a great spot.
Logo.
As well.
It could be any of the cable stations or any place where we get to keep doing our inappropriate humor.
That would be right. Nice. Because that's kind of the show.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's far from politically correct.
It's not. Right. It's exactly
the opposite.
Yeah, so if you have to go network, it would kind of.
That's right.
So it'd be hard. It'd be hard to keep the integrity of
we'd
the show.
We'd have to change, and it would probably become more sitcom-y.
Sure.
And we like the way that it feels like this gritty, like kind of IFC, HBO type thing. If Ideally, that's what we want. Will we continue on with it? Yes, we will continue on with it. Right. Where?
Yeah.
How? We don't know. That's the gods of streaming entertainment.
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
But yeah, so far you've been blessed, and I don't see why you won't continue that way.
Thank you, Sam.
And it sounds like a really funny, original show. You know, I mean, you don't see a lot of shows like that.
I don't think there's anything out there like it. I think it's going to be
great. Keep saying that, Kelsey.
Yeah.
Keep saying it.
I think it's going to be great. I have intuition about these things.
I love it.
Well, the nice thing is, you know, what you're saying, everybody knows family and everybody knows dysfunction. Those are things that you'll always see. But what does make it very unique is it's that mobile home community. It's that very Central Florida feel. You've not seen these characters in these settings before. It's not like we're reinventing the wheel. You obviously, you know, you get that it's a family comedy, it's dysfunction, but it's the setting and it's the interaction between these characters, the ignorance that leads to more and more chaos.
And their interaction with the outside world. It's not just all within that their bubble. The mother does live work at the Christian church.
Yes.
I mean, a Christian academy where the youngest gets to go to school. Amber gets to go to school there only because Grandma Rosie works there.
Yeah.
Right.
So you see the whole staff there. So you get a gym teacher, you get the saucy.
Everything that's going to happen, you know, once we get to go on, there are some new characters coming in, and a lot of the action will take place not only at the mobile home estate, but also at the Christian Academy, where Paul will become a guidance counselor. I hope I'm not giving too much away, but this is what will happen in that first season arc. So that's how you're going to see it just gets worse and worse and worse. And the whole time, Paul, all he wants to do is get back to New York City. But they're waiting on the money. It turns out the daddy had a little stash of money, and they're waiting for that money to come out of probate. And he's the executor of the will.
Oh my god!
It's all piled crap on top of crap for him.
Yeah, yeah, right?
But that's what you do, right? Yeah. You got to get him in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, I just have so many crazy stories. I had this friend one time who she was living in a trailer park next to her family, and there was a massive affair, big fight, because they got mad at each other and she moved her trailer down a couple lots. And it was oh, hell no, you didn't.
And you know what that's like? That's like being unfriended on Facebook.
It is. Oh,
what?
My gosh. Yes. I mean, I'll never forget. I went home for Christmas and my mom was like, your sister and your brother-in-law quit tagging me in my baby's pictures.
It's a to-do.
Her baby, her grandbaby's pictures on Facebook, and she doesn't know why, and she is mad.
Yeah.
Kelsey, I had a little cousin. I had a cousin when she was a little girl, so this lets you know where I grew up. And one time she got mad. She was in the back of the car, and she said, I'm going to Walmart, and I ain't coming back.
Okay, that is hilarious.
There's a lot you can eat and camp out in there.
That's
so
true, right?
She ain't no dummy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, that's so funny.
So the show is about a family, but it's far from being a family show. Right?
Good point. I mean, well, it's not...
It is
not
definitely
so filthy.
PG-13.
Yes, PG-13, I think. It's not so filthy that, you know, somebody 10, 11, 12 couldn't, you know, there's no huge violence or anything like that.
But there's language.
Listen,
there's sex scene in there that is one of the funniest sex scenes that you've
really?
Ever
yeah.
seen.
Yeah.
So, yes, the mother is getting pounded, you know, and it's hysterical. You got to watch it to see.
Oh, my God.
There's no nudity in it, though.
There's no nudity.
But there's been a few sexual themes, even in the minute and a half we heard.
Yes. And you never hear really, truly, extremely offensive language. But yes, people are farting and people are smoking and people are spitting snuff and they're talking about, you know, unusual things that have happened. And there is, you know, some toilet humor in there, because what is a good funny thing without a little toilet humor?
There you go.
Yeah,
there you
so
go.
True.
So you guys obviously knew what you were doing and everything. Now, so if this gets picked up, what do? You have to do like the usual 13 episodes, or how does it work?
Well, I think it depends on who picks it up, Sam.
Okay.
I think it's, you know, what they order, what they offer. You know, we would love to be on, and most likely would be on as creative and producers on it. What our dream is we have a wonderful Southern writing team around us, bringing on more and more fun humor, and we get to construct our 13 episodes that we have the synopsis of,
right?
And then watch it fly. So we do have 13 episodes. Most things are, you know, know, it depends. There's so much online now, too. Apple's right. now looking for content. We got
yeah,
Hulu.
It's crazy.
There's so much a need for nice. Content that it's just finding the right home for it.
Right.
And like I said, Mark and I, we're not truly picky. We just want to make sure it gets to live a good life yeah. with it.
So. Sam, more than likely, whichever producing entity would want to partner with us would partner us with a really tried and true showrunner. So there's somebody that yeah. we think would be great. We love Greg Garcia. He did
My Name is Earl. He did Raising Hope.
He's the Millers. He's the right sensibility for our show. He gets.
We think he is. I don't know what he thinks. Yeah, but exactly.
Greg, give us a call. You can take a look at it.
Very cool. The show is Welcome to Our Mansion. You guys can find out more about the show and about Jillian and Mark at welcometoourmansion.com. And now, do you guys have social network links and things like that?
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook at Welcome to Our Mansion. You can find us on YouTube. Put in Welcome to Our Mansion. We're there.
Twitter. At WTO
you can tweet
Mansion.
On us. You can tweet us, and you can – I don't have an Instagram for us.
We don't have Instagram, but
– I have it for me.
But that's okay. Everybody that has Instagram has something else,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So.
Yeah, and besides, you tweet can go us. To the Come website. On. You can contact them and everything. And so, obviously, you guys are going to have to – now, once somebody picks it up, you guys don't have to raise money anymore, right?
That would be a dream come true.
Right.
Really? Or is that still the case?
Sam,
I don't know how that
here's
works.
Here's what we hope. This is a great question that you're asking. Mm-hmm. So, what we hope is that when someone picks it up, we don't have to raise the funds.
Right.
We don't have to run for the coffee. We right. don't have to hold the boom mic. We don't have to do yeah. all of the things that you do when you are a two-person team supported by a strong
Wonderful.
Handful of
yeah.
people, right. but then you get a big crew with everybody specialized in what it is that they do. So the ideal thing would be that then Jillian and I will be part of a writing group that will be writing each episode together based upon what it is that we've created. Mm-hmm. We will continue to have that creative input, but there will be a showrunner that's overseeing everything. And of course, you know, depending on what the network or the streaming entity wants, mm-hmm. we will adjust accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that would be the idea, is that we don't have to do everything.
And that being said, it's a wonderful thing that we did do everything, because we have a great appreciation for each aspect of the filmmaking that we did, and have an understanding of where it all comes from, so that we will happily delegate.
Because when you do it like this on a shoestring budget, you understand about costuming, you understand about budgeting. So we were our own line producers. We did, mm-hmm. Editing. We did everything. And we get it that once you get a team in there that has the experience and specialization, you can have something that's so golden. We are so proud of what we did for $30,000, mm-hmm. but we know that it could be
10 million times sure. amazing,
yeah. with more money behind it and more people that specialize in what they do.
Right.
So.
But it's very commendable you guys went out and raised your own money and able to do this on your own and stuff. And I know it's hard, because the creative process is you first create something. You don't know if people are going to be interested in it. You don't know if people are going to buy it. But you do it because you have to do it.
You have to do it.
Right?
Yes.
You have to do it. That's being creative. So so you create something and you hope that people will like it, And until then, you sort of like... you just focus on what you're doing.
That's right. That's all you can do.
Right.
And it was interesting, Sam, because the whole thing is, oh, are people going to like this? Are they not going to? Is this too offensive? And Jillian, I think, was great with this. It's like, no, we've got to do it the way we want to do it.
Right.
And then if we have to, like, negotiate things later on down the line, we'll do it. But let's do it the way that we want to do it.
Right.
We did have certain guidelines that we followed. We didn't want for any of our characters to be that they're all loving in their own way, but again, there's an ignorance in it that allows for the inappropriateness.
Sure,
but there's
they're
love
not hateful.
Behind. They're not
there's
hateful.
No, they're not hateful people.
Yeah, sounds very good. Well, the show is Welcome to Our Mansion. If you guys want to find out more about Jillian and Mark, you can go to welcometoourmansion.com. You can find everything all over the place.
Thank you for having us on, Kelsey. Yeah. Yes. We love being here today.
Any final ideas we didn't bring on that you want to bring up or anything? Or did we pretty much cover everything?
Yes.
You got it.
I will say this. So, Sam, if there's somebody listening to this that is connected to a streaming entity, network, studio that wants a beautiful, wonderful, loving, well-developed comedy about the whole family that has a Southern feel to it, they absolutely should reach out to us. We're Houses on Wheels Productions at gmail.com. You can find us again through welcometotourmansion.com. It's easy to find us, but we are ready to pitch. Jillian and I, you know, we have our background as producers, but it's all been independent. We would love for somebody with a great deal of money and a great deal of clout
to
say, yes, we're ready to produce.
Yay. And that's a very unusual.
Well said, Mark Edgar Stevens.
Yeah. A very rare request, might I say. Nobody asks for money or support or anything.
Never, ever. We never ask that in Hollywood.
All right, guys. Well, Mark, Jillian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Much success with the show. You guys really deserve it. You put a lot of hard work into it and everything. And what else do you guys do now? I mean, do you guys like...
what else do we do? I work at a studio.
Yes, I work
in a wonderful department, and they're very supportive of me. I could not be luckier in that aspect. I also audition. I do commercial auditions. I was doing theatrical as well, but I'm focused more on the producing, directing, writing in, and I'm loving it. Mark and I have a couple more ideas for web series, things that we, you know, we'll bring into the room and pitch along with Welcome to Our Mansion. So that's what I do. That's my focus.
And my work has been every year I do work with the Lithgows that do a lot of they do So You Think You Can Dance and American Idol and things like that. And we do pantos at the Pasadena Playhouse. So sometimes I get to play with them on the producing end, sometimes on the performing end, which is also fun. Not the producing end, the production end. So I get the chance throughout the year to do a little bit of directing and producing. I continue to write. Jillian and I both continue to write. But I also pitch reality television. That was my background. I did a lot of reality television from 2002 until
he was on Oprah, y'all.
I was on Oprah. I was a big deal.
Yeah, excuse me. I didn't give you all the respect you deserve.
He's going to give you a brand new car.
So I'm out pitching shows, but my number one thing is I would love for this project, Welcome to Our Mansion, to be the focus of life.
And so be it. Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us. All the best to you.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you.
Kelsey, bye, guys.
Thank you. And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.